I am a medium. That means I can communicate with spirits, amongst other things. I started seeing spirits before I can even remember. I grew up feeling cursed, but now I am taking control of my abilities. Welcome to my Spirit Diaries. Hello and welcome to season 3, episode 9 of Spirit Diaries. I almost forgot where we were. We are moving along so quickly, I feel like, since we've started this podcast. And I feel like it's changed and grown so much. I love it. I love it. So today we are sharing some stories about Robert, who's here with me.
Hello.
And we are talking about him growing up in this haunted house that has had increasing activity since a Ouija board session.
Yes.
So this is really interesting. And I'm learning a lot of new things with you all. So I have not heard these full stories before. Some of them I haven't heard at all. So I'm right there with all of you who are listening to these stories with learning new information and trying to find this out, figure this out and figure out, you know, what is in your house and is it still there? I'm curious to learn. So I guess I know that answer, but
yeah.
I'm sure we're all curious to learn, you know, how this is going to progress. So we left off last time where you were talking about your dad had just started dating this woman named Jessica.
Right.
And she decided to buy some new furniture for her house. And your dad, being the savvy man he is, decided to ask her if he could have all of her old furniture.
Right.
And you mentioned that she has some ties to the paranormal. So please enlighten us at what this new adventure is.
So as far as I know with Jessica, she had weird things that happened to her throughout her life as well. She lived with her mother, her brother, and her daughter all in the same house.
Okay.
So she lived with family and she had a lot of paranormal type experiences at her house that they wouldn't even tell me all the stories because they're like, we don't want to creep you out to where you never go over there again type
really?
Of thing.
So you
yeah.
don't know all the stories?
I know that she had issues with darker things that are very scary.
I did meet Jessica at some point.
Yes.
And I do remember there being some darker things, stories.
Yes.
But she never talked to me about them either.
No, my dad always told me that like she had some things happen to her from a paranormal standpoint that she didn't like to talk about and would get upset if it was brought up.
Yeah.
So we just kind of, we knew that things happened, but we didn't know what.
Right.
And she didn't like to really talk about it. She would always get mad when my dad would like watch ghost shows. Cause she's like, I don't want anything to do with that. Like, stop it.
Absolutely. And I think that's something that a lot of people don't realize is that people who live in these haunted situations don't want to talk about it or they don't want to watch shows like that because it's so scary and painful and real. And I think that's where I have a lot of hard times with paranormal shows sometimes too, or certain groups who make a lot of these fun, witty sort of cash in opportunities on some serious, serious detrimental hauntings that can destroy a person's life. And
right.
I don't think a lot of people realize that a haunting can literally destroy people's lives. I mean, your home life is just absolutely shattered, and we'll get into more of this when we suffered from an extreme haunting.
Right.
And it's horrible. So it's totally normal for people not to want to talk about it purely from the pain that that haunting caused.
I totally agree. We respected that though. We didn't ever try to push her for anything. We were dealing with our own stuff, so
yeah.
we didn't really like, we understood and like was like, okay, like I totally understand.
Yeah.
Not gonna push you any further. We'll just leave it at things happen.
Mm-hmm.
So we got her furniture and it was very large furniture, way too big for my dad's living room. It was a 3-seater couch. It was like several end tables with giant lamps. He had a love seat that was black leather, the three pieces black leather as well. Lots of the lamps were all like crystal lamps, like the fake crystals that like hang. So giant lamps like in the corner of the room that would like go to the ceiling and then hang down with the fake crystals. And they were just obnoxious. You would bump your head into them if you tried to lean and set a cup down on the table. Like there's just, it was just too much everywhere. And besides the fact that it was just really old, too big furniture, when the furniture came in, I started experiencing migraines more often. And it took me a while to realize the the correlation between the two. But I don't know if it was a weird energy that was linked to her possessions or because they were hers and I was feeling something strange coming from her side. But I would get terrible migraines that would be like to the point of causing nausea. And almost like my head was spinning. You'd see like the like flashing stars and stuff from just the extreme pain of the headache. It almost felt like someone was just ice pick into my head and it would hit everywhere. It wasn't like a specific area, like a tension headache or a stress headache. It was like my whole brain was like on fire.
And you weren't the only one experiencing migraines, were you?
No, some of my other family members were having migraines as well, but I think I was having one almost daily. And they got worse the more paranormal shows or acknowledgement of anything paranormal happened in the house.
Yeah, and they took you to the doctors for this, and everything checked out.
Like, I was fine.
CAT scans came back fine. Your eyes were fine.
Yes.
Everything came back totally normal. And I think that's important to say, especially for those of you who are skeptical, like I am. You know, one of the first things I always like to recommend people do if they're experiencing, you know, any sort of hearing voices or seeing things or hallucinations or even pain such as dizziness or migraines, is the first thing you have to do is check on not only your physical health but your mental health and just make sure, you know, you're okay, because there's nothing wrong with being physically ill or mentally ill. These are totally normal things that a lot of people experience all the time.
Overlook as well.
Is really easy to overlook, and that doesn't mean that the entire haunting is caused by that,
right?
But it could be something that is affecting you that, I mean, you can get help with that medically aside from something spiritually. So it is important to note here that you went through the medical side, and that other people listening to this, if you are experiencing something like that, definitely check your boxes on the medical spectrum side, because you just don't want to miss anything that may have popped up while you were living in a haunted situation.
Right. And myself included, I was also a skeptic. Like, I liked to try to disprove myself, be like, oh, that's just, the walls are creaking because it's an old house. It was built in the 50s. It was something outside or something along those lines.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay. So when I had the migraines, I would go outside and get as far away from the house as possible. I would walk to the end of our driveway, and as soon as I stood, take a step into the street, my headache would ease and it would be gone.
No way.
And it would be almost instantly of just walking out into the curb. And then when I came back, I'd be like, okay, I feel a little better. Like, my head's not pounding anymore. I'm just going to go inside, probably just go crash so the headache doesn't come back. I'd come back into the house, and then bam, it was like getting hit in the forehead with a fist. Like, it would instantly come back. I'd have the nausea again. The whole house would be spinning, and it was terrible. And I actually tried this a few times that night, and my dad was with me and very confused, and like he was getting more concerned to the point where like he started yelling in the house for it to leave me alone and to stop and cut it out.
Wow.
And
so this is severe again. Your dad is again just straight up confronting whatever is there because of the severity that you guys are happening.
Right. And my dad's short tempered too. So like he would be like, he would just start yelling because he's over it and doesn't want to deal with it anymore.
I mean, at this point, it's gone on for years.
Right. Yeah, this has been on and off for years, and it was getting worse.
Yeah.
And later on down the line, after he got rid of the furniture, like, I never had migraines again. I don't think I got another migraine until college when it was justified.
Yeah, right.
So
right. So what spurred getting rid of all the furniture?
My dad kind of was, we were kind of thinking and just talking about like all the things that were happening. And when that furniture came into the house, things went from weird things to like more ominous things. Like you would see just like looming dark shadows instead of like a little tiny thing scurry. You'd see something in the hallway that was just like over 6 foot tall. Or,
and just like standing there watching. Yes.
Yeah, it would just be standing there. You turn on a light, there's nothing there. You turn off the light and it's gone.
Oh.
So.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh no. Oh, that's really bad. Oh, good God. Oh my God. That is. Oh. Yeah, I have goosebumps on my cheeks right now. Oh.
It was almost one of those things too where it was like I didn't want him to turn back off the light because I was like, what if it's closer this time, like in the horror movies?
No.
So, I mean, I would make him leave on the light most of the time.
Sorry, I need to take a second from this one. That's so scary. I mean, that is, like you just said, straight up out of a horror film.
Right. And I mean, you would hear, like, we had an open pantry in the kitchen, and I mean, you would hear like every once in a while it sounds like something might have like shifted in the pantry.
Yeah,
like you get up to look, nothing's moved, or like something in the kitchen just sounds like it settles, but like it would happen more than once.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, okay, was a dish settling or was it like the counter settling? Or we kind of just blew that kind of stuff off.
Right.
But it was around this time as well when this furniture was here that I had a whisper in my ear.
Mm-mm.
While sitting on the couch.
So you're directly in contact with the furniture.
Yes, I was directly in contact with the furniture. And this was the first time this has ever happened to me at this time in my life. And I remember distinctly because I was sitting on the couch. We were not watching anything ghost related. I was sitting in the middle of the three cushion couch, directly in front of the television. My dad was sitting to my left. And there was no one sitting to my right. My brother and sister were at my mom's for the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just watching normal TV. Our kitchen light was on. So the living room was partially illuminated.
So there's nothing spooky at all.
Nothing spooky. And our kitchen light had enough light to where it would cast some light down our hallway as well.
Yeah.
So there was no shadows. There was no like dark, spooky, eerie vibe.
Yeah.
We were sitting there watching a show. And on my right ear, I felt something get, like, I felt almost like buzzy, and I felt the breath when it said, hey, like that. And, like, you heard every letter, and it was, like, prolonged and into my ear. I felt it, and it was just the hair on the back of my neck stood up.
Oh.
You felt your whole body just instantly go into chills. And me being 14, 15 at the time, I was like, I'm gone. Like, I remember distinctly, my dad told me afterwards, he said, you jumped from the couch to the front door and were out on the front porch in the front yard within less than 2 seconds. And I remember it was about a 10 foot between where I was sitting and the front door. And he's like, I've never seen you move that fast in your life. And it was just one of those things that instantly just put like dread and fear down my spine. And I remember coming back in and being like, don't ever do that again. That's not okay. You cannot talk in my ear.
Yeah. So now you're addressing it.
Yeah. I was like, I tried to set boundaries at that point. I was like, you can't do that. That's not okay. That was terrifying. And I don't like it, and I don't want you to do it ever again.
Oh my God.
And that was very scary.
I know exactly what you're saying because I have had one spirit communicate with me, and it whispered in my ear, and I felt the breath, and it went down your ear canal.
You felt it.
It was disgusting.
And like your ear vibrates a little more than normal.
Oh man, I know that feeling. It's the worst type of spirit communication I've ever experienced. And I have a rule that they cannot talk to me audibly like that.
Right.
Because that feeling is so skin crawling.
Right.
Oh my God. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. And because of this, like, this wasn't the end of the activity that night.
No, no.
No, that wasn't it. So because of this instance, my brother and sister were at my mom's house and I was on one side of the house alone where my room was.
Right.
So I told my dad, I'm like, hey, I know I'm a teenager and this is weird, but I'm sleeping in your bed with you. You have a big enough bed. I'm sleeping on the other side of it. I'm not doing my own room tonight, especially if things are talking to me. I don't want anything to do with it.
Oh my God. And this is significant. You're a 14-15-year-old boy,
right,
in high school,
yeah,
asking to sleep in bed with his dad.
Yeah.
Like, that's significantly scary.
Right. And I don't scare easy.
That's pretty freaking horrifying.
Yeah. Yeah. I was not okay after the, like, it just, it's one of those things that, like, you just feel like the coldness, like, to the bone.
Yeah.
For experiences.
Oh my God. And so, was your dad, like, cool with this?
Yeah, he was super weirded out by it, too. Like, he thought it was funny that I jumped so far, but, like, he was super creeped out because he's like, I didn't hear anything. Ooh. And he was like, God, I don't want to hear anything.
Yeah.
So, he's like, that's fine. You can sleep in my room tonight. I think it was, like, a Friday night or something like that. So, it's like, there was no school, no work the next day. He didn't really care.
Yeah.
So, we ended up going to bed like somewhere around midnight. He's like, all right, I'm going to bed. I'm like, okay, I guess I'm going to bed too because I'm not sitting out here alone. And we went into the bedroom and turned off the lights, like went to started trying to go sleep. And
okay, I'm sorry. Our cat is meowing really loud right now. I'm sorry if you guys can hear this. Let me just settle them aside. Sorry,
it's okay.
Continue.
No, they're crazy. So we went to bed, and about 10, 15 minutes later, we could hear the kitchen table and the dining room chairs start to make noise.
What do you mean, start to make noise?
Like, these were also from Jessica's house. Her dining room table, her dining room chairs. It was a glass table and it had metal base legs, and then the chairs were metal as well, and there was four of them around a square table, so it wasn't a super big table.
So this is prior to you guys getting rid of all the furniture then, or did you get rid of some and keep some?
He kept the kitchen furniture. Uh-huh. He got rid of the, this was while we still had the furniture, but he didn't get rid of the kitchen stuff until well after he got rid of the living room stuff.
Okay, so at this point, you guys haven't figured out what the migraines are from either yet.
No.
Okay. Sorry. I think I was a little bit off on my timeline.
Sorry.
No, you're fine.
So we went to bed, and the chairs started moving. We heard one of them slide, like someone was going to sit down. And then we heard multiple chairs start to slide around.
Oh, my God.
And the dining room was right outside my dad's bedroom.
Yeah.
So, I mean, with the light under the door, you can see the shadow of the chair moving from the bed. Like, you can see it slide across and block out the light from any light source that
so
was
there. So you guys
are
just laying in bed watching these shadows?
Yes. And I remember I was laying there and I was like, are you still awake? And my dad's like, yes. And I was like, do you hear that? And he's like, yes. And we kind of just laid there, really creeped out. And I think like 15, 20 minutes of them just slowly moving around, it stopped.
That's a long time.
Yeah. And it was one of those things where it was like, I'm not getting up to open the door. My dad was clearly not going to get up to go look. He's like, just ignore it. Let's hope it stops soon. And eventually it stopped. I fell asleep just from pure exhaustion. I think it was like 1:32 in the morning at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
And we woke up the next morning, went out, all the chairs were normal. They weren't anywhere they weren't supposed to be. They were where they were the night before.
Oh my God.
So even though we heard them and saw the shadows, like everything was kind of untouched. And like I talked to my dad about it, and he after that morning, and he's like, just ignore it. Like, don't pay any mind to it. Don't give it any more energy than you have.
Wow.
Try to just stop thinking about it and let's not really feed into it anymore.
Did you guys, I mean, was it just sort of a brush it under the carpet when you seen they were all in the same positions or in the normal positions? Or was there that like questioning of like, did this even happen? Like what were you guys thinking?
I remember walking over to the chairs because you passed them when you left his room.
Yeah.
And I grabbed the back of them and slid it a little bit and it was the exact same sound. And I was like, okay. And I pushed it back towards the table. I didn't say anything. And I just kind of went about like, clearly I'm not crazy. That was the perfect noise.
Yes. Yeah.
It was validation for myself.
Yeah. And you guys watched the shadows. Like, I mean, what the heck were you seeing if it wasn't, you know?
Exactly.
Oh my gosh.
So we stopped talking about it. My dad stopped watching a lot of his ghost shows because he's like, clearly there's just stuff here that we're kind of feeding into. And it seems like the more we paid attention to it, the more started happening and communication was trying to come through.
Yeah. And this is the thing is, I know this is another big debate, is do paranormal shows cause paranormal activity?
Right.
And in my opinion, they do. And I know a lot of people are like, no, you can't have interactions through the show. And that, or like a show's haunting can't come through the TV and haunt you. And that's not what I'm saying.
Right.
What I'm saying is when you have a show on and investigators are on the TV and they're actively saying, if there's anybody here, say your name. And they're actively trying to communicate. They're asking these questions. If you happen to live in a haunted house and have a spirit there, there may be that miscommunication that it's not a show, that it's you, especially when we're dealing with older spirits who were not around when televisions were around, who weren't around when radios were around. This is even more confusing because a voice is projecting out of nowhere, asking them personal questions.
Right.
And it's like, oh, move something. And okay, push. And that's where I believe that, yes, paranormal shows can cause activity in your home. And I've even experienced this recently. My little brother has been playing, what is that paranormal video game?
I don't know the name of it.
Phasmatobia. What is it? Yeah. He has been playing Phasmophobia. Sorry. He's been playing Phasmophobia. And in that game, there's a fake spirit box. And in the game, you ask the spirit box questions, and he's asking questions audibly in his room to this video game to get a response in the video game.
Right.
Meanwhile, while he's asking a question, he got a response in his room audibly, not in the game.
Right.
And there is that miscommunication there of while you're playing a game, while you're watching a TV show, that engagement, again, is creating that open line of communication with something. And I know when you and I have watched paranormal shows, there's quite a bit of times that we'll mute sections of the TV show when we know there's a little bit of extra energy in our house, or if we, especially when we lived in haunted places, if we ever did indulge, we would watch them either outside of the house or nearly muted the entire time.
Right.
Because it does feed into the energy and fuels it. So your dad's totally correct. And, you know, wanting to distance yourself. And I agree, you know, the more you pay attention, the more you start to see. And I mean, it's just like a muscle. The more you work out, the stronger you become. The more you're involved with the paranormal and the more you're communicating, the better you get at it. And I experience this all the time. My mediumship gets so much better when I do, you know, a few weeks of readings back to back to back to back. By the end of those few weeks, I mean, I will be on my game.
Just completely in tune.
Totally blowing my mind and everybody else's mind. We're all just sitting there like, how is this happening?
Right.
You know? And it's a muscle. It's right. Using that muscle and it's getting in communication with it. And that's, yeah, cool.
Yeah. So at this point, I was starting to get more annoyed with it because I was like, this is affecting my life and it's really starting to bother me. Things are just happen on such a regular basis that I'm more annoyed with it at this point than I'm starting to be scared. Like, the, like, kind of ratio started changing. I was playing lots of sports. I was doing lots of weightlifting. I was going through puberty. So it's like my hormones were changing and I was getting more angry with things that scared me and responding with more like aggression back than fear.
Right.
And
you started to become a man.
Yeah. So getting big and strong.
Big, strong man. Yeah.
So I was not really having it anymore. Things started coming across like it was messing with me, whatever it was. And I think that there were multiple things in my house or multiple things that came and went or came through or whatever it was. But at that point in time, I was getting aggressive back.
Yeah.
When I felt aggressive coming towards me. And that's when things started changing to a point where I felt like I was more in control.
Oh, yeah. And that's where we are going to leave it off. And I love these parts of stories where you finally take control, because we're not there in my story yet where I get to hold the reins. And I'm so glad we're getting there in your story to where you figure out, like, this is my rules.
Yeah.
So we'll pick back up on that next time. Thank you, everyone who is listening to this podcast. I love all of you. You are all amazing. Thank you for spending so much time with us and listening to these stories. I really hope they're enjoyable and you're getting some spooky vibes and hopefully giggling along with us as we navigate this incredibly strange world that we are all existing in at this moment in time. It's insane to think about. But anyways, thank you so much for listening to the Spirit Diaries.